Welcome to the 3-Point Stance Podcast with your host, Dave Wipke.
Welcome back to another edition of the 3-Point Stance Podcast. I am your host, Dave Wipke. Can you believe it? We're already on to week three, and at most squads in the Whip will be preparing for their fourth game of the season, including the week zero contest back on before Labor Day weekend. Let's get right to it. Let's take a look at what went down on week two.
So for week two, tell us about Peters at Trinity, where you were Friday night.
Well, it was a battle between Class 5A and Class 4A. Both teams were undefeated. Both were 2-0. Peters Township last year defeated Trinity at Peters Township 38-14, and the Hillers were looking to get some revenge. They didn't quite get it. They fell 34-7 to the Indians at Trinity Middle School. But don't let that final score fool you. This was a two-score game headed into the final quarter and was still very much in doubt heading into the fourth quarter. Jonah Williamson kept Trinity in the game early. He fired an 80-yard touchdown pass to Dante DeRubo, giving the Hillers a 7-3 lead midway through the second quarter. It took a second for the Peters Township offense to get going, but they finally did when Nolan DeLuccia, the starting quarterback, who's a sophomore, scrambled from the pass rush and ran 23 yards for a go-ahead score on our next possession. And the first half ended 10-7. And again, that game was very much in doubt. There were some murmurs in the stadium that maybe Trinity can pull this off. But the Indians, they weren't having it in the third quarter. Preston Blair came on, taking over the starting reins in the second half. The running game for Peters could not get going in the first half, but Mr. Blair came in and made sure that was not the case. He started off the scoring with a 31-yard touchdown run to give Peters Township a 17-7 lead in the third quarter. And from there, the Peters Township defense, which has been unbelievable all year, they shut the door. They sacked Williamson three times in the second half. They got an interception. Their star defensive lineman, Jake Velgich, got into the act with a score. He brought back a blocked punt for a touchdown. And also, that was about it. DeLuccia added an 8-yard touchdown run in the second half. He threw for 125 yards, ran for another 78. His compadre, Mr. Blair, added 78 yards and a score as well. We'll make that two scores. I mean, it looked like a blow-up by the score, but again, that final score should not fool you. That was a game going into the fourth quarter. Trinity definitely shows that they can play with the big boys, and they're going to have a tussle this upcoming week against Connellsville on the road. They'll be traveling, or check that, they'll be hosting the Key Sport in 2 weeks, and I think that'll be another test for them coming up. But kudos to Peters. They win, and they move on to 3-0.
Okay, now let's talk about Waynesburg. California traveled to them.
Yes, Waynesburg, 3-0 on the season. They didn't win a game last year. They've won three this year. I'd say that's, what, 300%? 300% better?
Roughly, yeah. That sounds, yeah, about right. Good. Yeah, sounds good.
I don't do math. I don't do math. I talk. But the Raiders looking good, winning 27-9 over California. Jake Ricciuti brought in two touchdown receptions from Jake Stevenson. Braden Woods was a 71-yard touchdown run, was the dagger for Waynesburg. Cal's lone score came from a 60-yard punt return from Lee Qualk in the second quarter. But it was not enough, as Waynesburg, yes, Waynesburg, is 3-0. They will be heard from in the Century Conference going forward.
Okay, let's talk about Sarah. They traveled down to Washington to play Wash High.
One of Waynesburg's compadres, or say rivals, in Century Conference 2A, Washington, got a bit of a test. They hosted Sarah Catholic, and they came out of it on the opposite end, smelling like a rose. They are now 3-0, defeating Sarah Catholic 40-15 Friday evening at Wash High Stadium. Eddie Lewis continuing his strong season. He had 153 yards on 26 carries, while his teammate Percy Dudley added 101 yards on 8 carries to go along with 2 touchdowns. Quarterback Tristan Reed added a 48-yard touchdown pass to Xavier Willis in the first quarter. Reuben Gordon added an interception for the defense as the Prexies continued to roll on in 2A play.
Okay, and now Seneca Valley, they headed to Cannon Mac. Tell us about that game.
Home opener for the Big Macs at Big Mac Stadium. Always a fun tailgating scene there in Cannonsburg. And the home folks were happy as Cannon McMillan earned a 38-0 victory over Seneca Valley in some Class 6A action. It would be the second shutout of the season for the Big Macs. Caden Singleton added to his collection of interceptions for touchdowns. This was a 23-yarder that gave Cannon Mac a 17 lead in the second quarter. Gino Calgaro continuing his strong season. He added a 7-yard touchdown run in the contest, while quarterback Mikey Evans added a touchdown pass and a touchdown run to round out the scoring. Cannon Mac is putting themselves in a really good spot at 2-1 in Class 6A. Seneca Valley has yet to win a game, and Cannon Mac has a big game coming up against Bethel Park here this week.
Okay, and Mapletown, they played host to Avella.
This is a rare occurrence when two schools meet twice in the same regular season, the always rare home-and-home series. Avella this time getting the better of Mapletown in a 14-7 win at Mapletown High School. Avella is now 2-1. They would most definitely be my 2023 Cinderella if it wasn't for Waynesburg. Avella losing the earlier contest to Mapletown 29-12. That did not happen this time around. Cole Jaworski, 23-yard touchdown pass to Isaiah Braddock, provided the winning margin for the now, I guess I said earlier, 2-1 Eagles. Mapletown scored first when Evan Griffin scored from 23 yards out in the first quarter. Caleb Rush, though, got Avella back into the game with a 5-yard touchdown run, cutting the deficit to 7-6 before the Jaworski-Braddock connection gave Avella the win. Once again, the Eagles making themselves proud out there in rural Washington County with a 2-1 record.
And Mount Pleasant, they headed to McGuffey.
Surprise of the evening. A lot of people thought McGuffey would have won this game. I had a strange feeling that was not going to be the case, and my strange feeling ended up being correct. Mount Pleasant was down 14 points, or check that, they were down 9 points. They scored 14 unanswered in the third quarter. They erased a 21-12 deficit, and they pulled off the win at McGuffey, 26-21. Cole Chatfield had a 39-yard touchdown pass to Luke Nicotera, cut the lead to 2. And Garrett Eicher scored the game winner on a with a 5-yard run with 40 seconds left in the contest. Connor Crow, continuing his strong season for McGuffey, connected with Lincoln Johnson for a 33-yard touchdown pass, giving McGuffey the 21-12 lead in the third quarter. However, they could not hold on, and surprisingly, McGuffey is now 1-2 on the season.
And then finally, Fort Cherry was at Beth Center.
Yes, the Matt Sieg Show continuing to roll on as Fort Cherry rolled on to a 43-point win over Beth Center by the count of 49-6. Mr. Sieg completed 10 of 15 passes for 118 yards, added 67 yards on 5 carries, threw an 8-yard touchdown pass to Shane Cornelli, and added touchdown runs of 37 and 3 yards. If that wasn't enough, he also notched a pick six for a touchdown in the second half, and he also sold popcorn and the 50-50 ticket while he was at it. He just couldn't help himself. He's a go-getter. His teammate Ethan Folletto also rushed for 84 yards and a score for the Rangers. The lone Beth Center touchdown came from, I think this guy's got the best name in the Whippeel, Sincere Cruz. Scored their lone touchdown with a 95-yard run, but it wasn't enough as Fort Cherry goes 3-0 on this season.
Any final thoughts on the Week 2 recap before we head into previewing Week 3?
I'll say this. Cannon Mac is their defense with 2 shutouts in 3 weeks. I know Coach Mike Evans likes that kind of football, likes physical defensive football. I think this is the team he's always wanted, a ball control type of team. And basically, if they typically score anywhere from 10 to 14 points, they got a pretty good chance of winning. It's been a while since Cannon Mac has had a really good team, and they really have a chance to build on our resume going forward. What can you say about Waynesburg? They continue to impress people. They're now 3-0. They got Greene County on fire, and look forward to seeing them play down the line.
Okay, let's move into previewing week number 3. Let's start off with Cannon Mac. They're going to be at Bethel Park.
Yeah, this is the 3-point stance game of the week. I will be there for this one. Cannon McMillan of 6A taking on a pretty strong 5A Bethel Park team. Even though Bethel Park right now is 1-2, they've been pretty good so far this year. They lost to Mount Lebanon in week 1 on a disputed extra point miss that ended up sending their game to Mount Lebanon in overtime, in which Mount Lebanon won. And then last week, they hosted Pittsburgh Central Catholic and their raft of Division 1A recruits. They lost 62-46. They gave up all 62 points in the first half, but they came back and made it interesting. Quarterback Tanner Pfeiffer threw for almost 300 yards last week, while Javon Moore ran for 213 yards. So for them to do that against a pretty good Central Catholic defense says volumes about them. Again, Bethel Park trailed by 42 points at the half, but they were able to make it interesting. They're going to be home. Bethel Park always historically plays a pretty strong physical type of ball game. They want to play this game in a phone booth as well. So this is going to be a good matchup, I think. Canamac's going to have a stiff test. If they want to win this game, they're going to have to earn it. And even though it's a matchup between 6A and 5A, don't let that fool you. I think Bethel Park tends to punch up in their weight. So again, I'm looking forward to seeing this game. Always a good atmosphere there at Bethel Park High School.
And Keystone Oaks, they're going to be heading down 79 to Waynesburg.
Yeah, Waynesburg looking to keep the good times going. As I mentioned multiple times here, they're still undefeated. They're 3-0. Greene County is in love with this team, or let's say have to be, at least around Waynesburg they should be. But they're also going to get a stiff test. Keystone Oaks always has some athletes. They lost a tight one last week to 21-7 to Bishop Canavan. It was the battle for Dormont Stadium because they both share that stadium. Like when the Jets and Giants play at the Meadowlands, or when the Chargers and Rams play at the NLA.
I went to Canavan. That's accurate. Yes, that tracks.
Yeah, give it up for Keystone Oaks. They are 1-2, but should be interesting to see how they perform on the road traveling to play Waynesburg.
And next we have Peters. They're going to be at South Fayette.
Another hard-hitting game this should be. Peters Township 3-0 going up against South Fayette, who's now 2-1. This will be the conference lid lifter for both. Peters Township, TJ Plack's squad. Their defense has been tremendous. They've only allowed 14 points in three games. So if you do the math, that's a little more than 4 points a game.
You're having a math check again? Come on, man.
Yeah, nobody has a calculator on
their phone. Nobody has a calculator. They don't.
But at the Peters Township defense, their pass rush is pretty good. They had 3 sacks last week. They had, I believe, 8 sacks in week one. And they had about 4 sacks in week two. So 8 times 8 plus 4 is 12. That's 5 sacks a game in high school. That's pretty good in a high school game. But they're going to be going up against a really good offense. South Fayette lost to Montour 42-35 in a shootout. South Fayette averaging 32.6 points per game. So Peters is going to have to score some points. Quarterback Nolan DeLucia has been very good, as evidenced by his game last week. He's been solid, been keeping down on the turnovers, and they got an always strong ground game. I expect this going to be very close. I also expect Peters Township to come out on top late.
And then we have Wash High. They're headed to Greensburg to take on Greensburg Central Catholic.
Going to be a bit of a road trip for the Prexies this week. They're going to be heading out probably out I-70 and hook up with 119-30. Greensburg Central Catholic, not exactly easy to get to, but I'm sure they'll find their way. These two teams met last year, 55-27. Washington beat Greensburg Central Catholic at Wash High Stadium. In last year's game, Reuben Gordon caught 5 passes for 103 yards and 2 scores. The defense, though, for the Prexies, they're going to have their hands full. Quarterback Tyree Turner is back for the Centurions, and he threw for 208 yards last year and kept Greensburg Central in that game. Greensburg Central coming off a road win last week. They had to go to West Greene last week. That's far.
That's very far.
West Greene is far from here. It's not quite the end of the world, but you can see it from there.
Oh, ridiculous.
They have a train trestle over their field.
West Greene?
Yes. I covered a West Greene Sarah Catholic game there years ago, and I was begging for a train to go by, but there was no train.
We all know you love trains.
Well, everybody knows I love trains, but now they do.
And not only, you don't only do previews, you also give traffic directions of how to get to the stadiums. It's a nice touch.
I don't know if they're going to go that way. I don't know how you get there. They're going to have to leave early. Clearly not going the Parkway. You're not going 79 at a Parkway and now 30 that way. There's no easy way to get to Greensburg from here. Washington County, that is.
No, there's really not. And then finally, Chartiers Houston. They are going to be hosting Fort Cherry.
This is the David versus Goliath matchup of the week. Black Hills Conference action getting underway for both. Fort Cherry's on one end of the spectrum, and Char Houston is on, well, the other end. Fort Cherry's 3-0. They've been averaging about 49 points a game. As you know, Matt Sieg is their all-everything player, super sophomore. He has averaged, should I say, he's had 325 yards rushing on only 18 carries with six scores in three games. He's also at quarterback, completed nearly 65% of his throws for 350 yards and five touchdowns. His running mate, Ethan Folletto, is 317 yards rushing and five scores. Shar Houston still looking to get their first win. Unfortunately for them, even though they're at home, I don't think it's going to happen this week. I think Fort Cherry goes 4-0, and that will do it for my preview of this week's game. Again, we are moving into week three. The weather is getting chillier. It's getting darker earlier. The kickoffs are starting to get into the dark when it starts. The lights are on, so this is really starting to feel like football. Enjoying the action so far. We've had some good stories here in this area. We had Waynesburg at 3-0. You got Peters Township at 3-0. Wash High, their typical 3-0 self. Matt Sieg still making a name for himself at Fort Cherry. You have Avella sitting here at 2-1, along with Mapletown 2-1. Maybe they'll meet in the playoffs for an unprecedented third meeting in single A. Wouldn't that be something? But that is all we have for this week's edition of the 3-Point Stance podcast. Be sure to check us out next week as we'll be reviewing some week three action, and we'll be heading into week four. We are almost halfway through the season. Can you believe it's going by this fast? Thank you very much for tuning in to the 3-Point Stance podcast.